It certainly is Dubai Today, but not with Suzanne, with Alex. We're going to change that because I've got 5 weeks on air. Joining me in the studio today, as always on a Sunday, cultural psychologist Asamani Shaheem. Now, we've been talking about addiction to the internet and to your smartphones. And if you want to find out whether you're addicted or not, here's what to do. Text in, let me know, 4001 is the SMS number. Let us know, should I say, how many hours a day do you think you spend on the internet? Okay,
and that includes, you know, work that you do for work-related stuff as well, so not just for entertainment purposes. So the number of hours that we spend staring at different screens, that'd be a scary number.
Yeah, ask your children as well, actually. It'd be interesting to find out how much time they actually spend using computers while they're at school, because our generation, we didn't use computers at school.
Mm-hmm. So. And another concern that I have that I would like to hear back as well from listeners is what are you worried about in terms of internet usage? Not necessarily for your kids, but for yourself. Is there a feeling or a sensation that you get after reading particular articles or being on Facebook too long or on Twitter?
Like a headache.
Right. Yeah. Are there physiological or psychological changes within the system? Because when we know, Alex, that people are likely to be on the internet, the first thing they wake up and it's the last thing that they do. Can you imagine, you know, how much that impacts not only our wakeful state, but also our dream state and the kinds of thoughts that we're having and experiences that we're going through before we're going to bed? So it's constant.
Yeah, it's constant. And the other thing is that we're using certain devices for everything. We don't just use, for instance, I don't just use an iPad for, you know, social media. I will use it for emails. I will use it for music. I will use it for films. I will use it for photos. I will use it as
everything.
My alarm clock.
Yeah,
yeah, it's audio.
And there's tons of other applications that you might use.
I mean, it really is. So it'd be interesting to find out. I will let you know as well how many hours I spend a day on.
Do you read books on there too as well?
I do, actually. I've started. Yeah. I like to have a paperback book, but I have bought two books, in fact. Recently that I've started reading.
Mm-hmm.
I may go with your recommendation this morning of a third.
Yeah, which we might talk about later. But, you know, previously when looking at internet and addiction and connectivity to the internet and whether how functional it is or dysfunctional it is, we looked at it quantitatively, so the number of hours spent on the internet. Now, because there are different categories associated with the types of internet users, we can't just associate numbers or number of hours spent on the internet with correlated with any kind of dysfunctional results or outcomes or consequences, or even refer to it as an addiction. So we need to look at it more qualitatively. So what is happening to you when you're online for a certain amount of time, and how is it impacting you? So the different types of connections or connectors, if you will, to the internet that we have, we've got people who are resident internet users. So the resident is an individual who lives a percentage of their life online. So the web supports the projection of their identity, and it's an extension of who they are, and it facilitates certain aspects of their identity and their relationships. So these are people who have an online persona, and they maintain it regularly. This persona normally and primarily in a social networking site, but it's also likely to be evident in blogs or in comments that they put or images that they share. But the resident will, of course, interact with all the practical services as well, such as banking, information retrieval. They may prefer shopping online. I mean, how many people do you know, Alex, now who prefer to shop online rather than go out there and, you know, browse through the shops?
Funnily enough, I still don't think it's quite cottoned on here. I think there are certain things that we use, and certainly with these new sites for our region like Groupon and obviously Dubizzle and
right.
Souq.com. But I don't think it's as big as it is for me when I go home to the UK, it's massive. I don't even think people actually go shopping anymore. Mm-hmm.
And the number of high street shops that have actually closed down in the UK.
Yes.
I mean, the area in which I used to live in, the Richmond area, when I look at the visage of the of our high street and how much that's changed in the last 5 years, it seems only food-related stores are open, and everything related to retail has shut down. Which is sad.
In Canada, because obviously there are some very sparse areas that's very difficult to get to. Do you think they're relying on things like internet shopping?
Yeah, I think they are much, much more so still than our part of the world. And it's just easy and convenient, isn't it? So there's things like Amazon that deliver everything to you, from books to the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
And why would you go out there and some would argue have to travel for a long period in the car, get to somewhere crowded perhaps, waste 3-4 hours of your time when you can get it done within 10-15 minutes and a click away.
Yeah, and then you can spend 3-4 hours on the internet.
Yes.
Don't forget to SMS into 4001. Let us know how many hours a day you're spending on the internet. If you've got children, it'd be interesting to know how many hours they're spending. Let us know roughly your age as well. We won't tell anyone, promise.
No, but that's you're right. It's important because the generation that you're from will very much be directly linked to our connectivity to the internet. So we've got the digital sort of locals or the digital natives,
residents. Yeah.
They're born into it and that's who they are. But then we've got the immigrants and the visitors. And these are the people who started using the internet, let's say 10, 15 years ago. You know, it's they haven't been using it since they were kids. It's more they started as adults, and we can say that they're mostly in their middle ages, because the people who are in more along the lines of the aging years.
Am I middle aged?
Are you?
Am I really,
Alex? You don't look middle aged.
You don't look middle aged.
I can tell you that. But so the aging years, that population is much more resistant to it, and they almost feel like they've been forced into this usage of the internet, and so they have a very passive-aggressive relationship with it, especially if their job or their profession requires that they carry a BlackBerry or that they have to send emails or texts and things like that. So it can be often very tough for them. But these are the people, the digital immigrants. They have something that I came across that I found very interesting, digital immigrant accents. So for example, what would be a typical digital immigrant accent is needing to print out a document rather than reading it on the computer. So they're not comfortable yet with, let's wave the paper all over the place.
And I do keep saying, I would like to buy us all an iPad each. It would be far better for the environment than every single one of us printing out tons of paper every day.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be better.
You're right.
But some people will say, no, I still need to write my essay or the article. And once I've written it, and then I can type it, or I can just, or if I find something interesting, I can't read it on the screen. I need to print it out and feel it. Or things like if we find something interesting as an immigrant, you might call over your family or your friends and say, hey, come over here. It's something I want to show you, rather than sending them the address, for them to check it out themselves. So because we still want that social connection. We as immigrants, we feel that, I want to share this experience with you as I'm showing you this, rather than sending it to you for you to look at it in an isolated setting. So we want to look at it together. So these are the different types of users. And so we can't compare the resident, for example, to the visitor, because the visitor's likely to be using the internet much less than the resident. So one thing that researchers across all the major universities such as MIT and Cornell University that have been looking at this, they're very quick to point out we cannot base or we cannot make sweeping generalizations about our new generation who are spending many more hours being connected to the internet as necessarily being bad or necessarily being dysfunctional. It is the way that they're learning. It is the methods and the technologies that have been developed and made available to them. to think that when you sit in a restaurant and you see a two-year-old with an iPad on his or her lap and they're playing the games and they're maneuvering, you know, they're able to maneuver through the different screens and windows and things like that. That's incredible.
It's incredible, especially when, I don't know if anybody's tried, like I have, to give your grandparents your iPad. It's a disaster. Don't do it. It just doesn't work.
So you think, what is this? What do I do with this?
Nearly ended up in the fire. That's where it nearly went.
Yeah. But again, still we're in charge, Alex. So you need to use technology rather than let technology use you, or rather than technology overwhelm us. Now, it doesn't matter who it is that's arguing on this side of the point, whether it's someone sitting on the fence or if someone arguing against it. There were a lot of people in the onset of this internet usage that said, oh, come on, in every generation, we've made these claims. When the radio first came out, we said, oh, all these people are going to be brainwashed by the radio. When the TV came out, we wanted to blame everything, all the problems of the youth and children on exposure to TV programs and excessive watching of television programs, video games, the same thing. So once again, the internet needs to be managed and it needs to be looked at from all sides, but we will talk about the way in which serious psychological disorders are connected to the misuse of the internet.